Well, again, Happy New Year, everybody. Can you guys believe it's 2017? Man. How many of you guys are in the process of making a New Year's resolution? Show of hands. Anyone making some of those? Are you thinking about maybe making a New Year's resolution? One of mine is to potty train our son, and I figured it's either this year or it's not going to happen, so we're going to be getting on that in the next couple months here. You know, it's amazing that one day we can go from 2016 to 2017. And voila, we have a new year. And I think we might be in one of two places. For some of us, we're going to walk into the new year and have expectations that it's going to be, you know, filled with new dreams and hopes and commitments, resolutions, jobs, something really good. And so we're excited. We're ready. 2017, here we come. For others of us, though, 2017, what we're expecting is maybe to feel fear or stress, worry, maybe even dread. So we know there's a sickness or some family issue. Maybe it's both. Maybe we got a little bit of both, right? A little bit of excitement, a little bit of, I don't know what's going to happen. Or maybe some of you are just like, okay, like Groundhog Day, 2017 is just, okay, it's going to be the same old, again and again, stress, anxiety, or worry, or whatever it might be. Well, it's interesting, when we talk about a new year, we always relate it and contrast it to an old year, right? So there wouldn't be a new year unless there was an old year. And so inevitably, when we look ahead, we end up looking back. We always do that. And so how do we look ahead confidently and live as people of faith in 2017? And I think the answer is simple, yet for some reason difficult. And so here's the answer. We look back. We remember. So we look at 2017 and remember the years past. And I think nothing might illustrate this idea better than the story and history of the nation of Israel and the call of Moses to move forward and accomplish God's will in a new season for his people. So in our scriptures today, we're going to jump here. Look at that. Isn't that cool? I think some of you might have missed that. So watch this. We're going to jump right here. Right there. To the burning bush. Thanks, Carrie. I got Carrie back here helping me. So she's got, if you ever need a job, you know, there's a burning bush illustration technician, you know, that could be good. There we go. Yeah. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus 3. If you're using one of our Bibles here, it's page 40. Exodus 3, we'll start at verse 1. And you remember Moses, the Israelite. He grew up in Pharaoh's house, but fled after he murdered someone, and he found himself here as a shepherd on the mountain of God. So Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called from him to within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses was like, me? No, he said, here I am. I'm here. And he was probably a little bit afraid because it says he covered his face and God made him take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. And you can imagine Moses before the bush as God's calling to him, Moses, Moses. Verse 7. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good, spacious land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, up out of Egypt. So it's interesting, God here is reiterating the same promise that he gave to Jacob in Genesis 46. You can see up on the screens. I am the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And so this was a promise of God for what is to come. And so just like we're looking forward to a new year, God was asking Moses to look ahead into a new season for the nation and the people of Israel. And so what did Moses do? He said, okay, God, sign me up. Let's go. No, he didn't do that. He said, I don't want to go. So he raised five objections. Look with me in verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? You know, here's Moses, the murderer, the shepherd. Who am I? And I think we might sometimes think the same way when God is calling us. Well, who am I, God, to start that ministry? You know, who am I to give more generously this year? You know, who am I to share the gospel with this person? Or my coworker, or my neighbor? Who am I? And you gotta love God's answer. Look at verse 12. He says, I will be with you. That's his answer. I'll be with you. God didn't say, Moses, you know, you have what it takes. You've got the skills and talents that other people don't have, gifts and abilities. That's why I'm calling you. No, he says, I will be with you. So point number one, as you step into 2017, do not be afraid and remember that God will be with you. It's not about you. It's about the fact that when God calls you, his promise is that he will be with us. God will be with us. Verse 13, objection number two. But Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what's his name? What shall I tell them? You know that this bush started talking to me? Is that what I'm supposed to say? And you got to think, come on, Moses. What's your name? You know, what's your name? God's saying, I mean, he's speaking from within a burning bush. I am God. Look with me at verse 14. God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. It's almost as if God's saying, you know, Moses, don't you remember me? Don't you remember the history of all that I've done? Verse 16, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what's been done to you in Egypt. And I've promised to bring you up out of your misery into Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's saying, my name, don't you remember, Moses, who I am? Don't you think my people will remember? You know, I'm the God who did all these things. I called Abraham to leave his country, his family. I gave him a son in old age. I blessed Isaac and Jacob over and over again. Don't you know my name? Don't you think my people will know me? And so Moses only needs to remember the promises that God made to his forefathers, and that God was with him, and that God would do what he said he would do. God would bring him into this land flowing with milk and honey. So verse 2, or point 2, as we step into 2017, let's remember who God is. He's the creator God, the almighty God, the I am. Let's remember who God is. Okay, go down to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses' next objection. Well, Moses answered, well, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? And they say, the Lord didn't appear to you. You know what's amazing is Moses is definitely afraid of God, right? He's by the bush. He covers his face. He takes his sandals off. He's afraid of God. But it seems like he's more afraid to do what God asked him to do, more afraid to step into the future and accomplish what God's calling him to do than he is that he just encountered the living God. He's more afraid of what God's calling him to do than the fact that he's right there and God is speaking to him. The I am is speaking to him. I just find that so amazing. And I think it could be the same with us, that when we look towards 2017, sometimes we're more afraid of what God is asking us to do, what God's putting on our heart. I think we've all experienced that, where God says, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to share the gospel with this person. I want you to pray more. I want you to read your Bible more. And we kind of go, I don't know. You know, that sounds scary to me. And so look what God says, verse 2. He says, well, what's in your hand? And I love that. So Moses must have been just gripping this staff, you know, because he says, well, a staff. So the whole time Moses has a staff in his hand right before this burning bush, and he looks down and goes, oh, a staff. Staff's in my hand. And so the Lord said, well, take this staff and throw it on the ground. And he did, and Moses threw it on the ground. It turned into a snake, a staff into a snake. And God said, so when you pick the snake up by its tail, it's going to turn back into a staff. Verse 5, this, said the Lord, is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So point 3, as we look ahead to 2017, remember what's in your hands. Now, I don't know if we have any shepherds here, but what has God already given to us? You know, what's already in our hands? You know, maybe it's time. Maybe you got a lot of time on your hands. Has God put that in your hands? Maybe it's a certain job that allows flexibility or access to certain people, or maybe it's just money. God's just blessed you with money. That's in your hands. What's in your hands? What has God already given to you? See if I can keep that up. Might fall. Let's remember that. Next objection. I love this one. Verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. You know, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow to speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, well, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? And so God's having to remind Moses again, hey, I really am the Lord. I can use whomever I want to use. It's not up to you, Moses. Remember who I am. Am I not bigger than your lack of eloquence? Am I not bigger than that? Verse 12, so God says, now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. And so again, God promises to be with him. So next point, just in case we forgot already, just in case Moses forgot, remember that God really is going to be with you. He really will be. Last objection here, verse 13. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. And you know, it's kind of funny, but you think, you know, and maybe we think this way, that sometimes if we just ask nicely, you know, God, I know you're calling me to do this, but pardon me, you know, forgive me, I just have someone else do this, you know, that if we ask real nicely, God's going to just give us the pass. Oh, it's okay, you know, I'll find someone else. God starts getting a little angry. And he's reminded Moses through miracles. He's showed up in a burning bush. He turned a staff into a snake and then back into a staff again. He reminded Moses of who he is, that he's the creator God, the I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And still, Moses is afraid to step into the future and do what God wants. More afraid of what's to come, what he's called to do, than encountering the living God. And so God says, okay, I'll let your brother Aaron go with you. Now go and don't forget your staff. After all that objection to God's call, after saying, no, please send someone else, this is how the story goes. God uses Moses to miraculously deliver his people. And it's this event, this miracle of deliverance, that's told over and over again. In the scriptures, God's constantly saying, remember what I did for you in Egypt. Remember how I brought you up on eagle's wings, how I saved you from the hands of the Egyptians. Remember, remember, remember. And this Passover that was associated with this, that they'd celebrate every year, they'd retell this story. They'd remember this event, and they teach it to their children, their children's children, children's children. They tell it again and again, remember the story. So why do you think God wanted his people to remember? Why does he ask us to remember? You know, I think we're forgetful people. We just have short memories. I think God could pay off a medical bill, and then the next day we receive a new medical bill. You know, maybe he provides us with the exact amount of money, right, to pay off this medical bill. And then the next day we get a new medical bill, and we're stressed and worried again. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? You know, we just forget in like one day. And so point five here, as we look ahead to 2017, let's remember what God has already done. Whether it's an illness you're facing, a change, a hope, an opportunity, a resolution, a call from God, let's be people who remember what God has done in the past and trust that it'll be there in the future. Let's remember what God has done in the past and trust that he'll be there in the future. You know, God's promise to the people in Egypt, to his nation, was that he'd bring them up into a land flowing with milk and honey. And so, can anyone see this? I have a picture here. Let's see. Anyone know what this is? Any of you kids know what this is? Honey! Yes! It's honeycomb. And so, you know, the bees actually make this stuff. It's actually pretty good. I'm going to try a bite here. Now I got to chew. And my hands are sticky. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see the Lord is good. We need that tangible reminder sometimes. We need to taste it. And there's certainly a lot to taste, a lot to see, not only in the pages of the scriptures. There's a lot to see and taste in here. Read it. But in our lives as well. You know, we all have stories of God answering our prayers or meeting our need, providing for us, miraculously working in someone's life. He's spoken to us. You know, let's remember that. Let's have good memories and sticky hands and remember the goodness and the sweetness of our great God and all that he's done for us.